Welcome to Inspired, a production of Interfaith Voices. I'm Amber Kahn. Every week, we explore the beliefs shaping our world. And most weeks, I'm taping from the studios at WAMU in Washington, D.C., but not this week. I, along with millions of others around the world, am sheltering in place to control the spread of COVID-19. So for the next few weeks, I'll be taping from home in a makeshift studio. That, just a few days ago, was an old playroom, surrounded by stuffed animals and action figures of every size. Now, most have been cleared out, but I've kept a few nearby. Big Bird, who sings the alphabet when you press his feet, and the stuffed monkeys with Velcro feet and hands. Right now, he's wrapped around my microphone stand. This small room would transform, in my son's imagination, into a make-believe world without limits or restrictions or boundaries. And it was often in here that he would imagine the world outside. And I'm thinking about that now, as we collectively stay inside, adjusting to a new reality put in place to keep us safe. Where are we turning for wisdom and for guidance? Now, in this time of isolation, how do we resist feeling distant when we cannot gather? Can we?
Because of the way that our brains are inherently metaphorical, when we hear distancing, we feel more separate. Like, we naturally go from creating physical distance means creating emotional distance. But those two things don't necessarily have to go together.
That's the Reverend Dr. Lynn Unger. She's a poet and a Unitarian Universalist minister from Northern California. A couple of weeks ago, I felt like every social media platform I was looking at, someone was sharing her poem.
Pandemic. What if you thought of it as the Jews considered the Sabbath, the most sacred of times? Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up, just for now, on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing. Pray. Touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out with your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, so long as we all shall live.
So long as we all shall live. Those words at the end of her poem resonated not just with me, but with many of you. 2 weeks ago, I asked you to share how you're coping with the new restrictions to prevent the spread of COVID-19. And several of you shared Lynn's poem. So I started reaching out and discovered not only has she published many, she's a minister with the Church of the Larger Fellowship, an online congregation. Her work has been included in the anthology, What We Share. Lynn readily agreed to do an interview from her home in California, where she too had just begun sheltering in place. I began our conversation by asking her what inspired her to write this poem now. And she mentioned a friend who had put out a call to poets, and that struck a chord.
It was a thing that had a moment, like, now is when we need it. And I guess I was willing to go with letting things be imperfect model for the poem as well, for the worship. But in this case, it also felt like, yeah, I think my friend is right. I think we need a poem now. So let's put out a poem.
And it's not long. At 151 words, Unger ends the pandemic poem, borrowing a familiar refrain from Wedding Vows. She explains.
Well, because I wanted to talk about the commitment to love one another. I mean, that's really what it's about. The words in sickness and in health came to my mind as being sort of obviously expressive of the situation, right? We are in this, really in the sickness part, but if you commit to a relationship, that's how you commit.
The commitment she is speaking about is the one we have to those we know and those we don't. A covenant with our fellow human beings. It's something she feels passionate about, especially right now. In the poem, she uses parentheses as a response to an argument that she finds troubling.
I will try not to get too political, but I think that we have been hearing a lot of very distancing language, a lot of trying to make people afraid of other people, a lot of us and them. And this is the kind of situation that you have to go, no, we're all connected here. There is no just myself. This is a global pandemic. What other people are doing obviously and directly affects us, so you can't pretend that it doesn't. And so I think those parenthetical statements are kind of a response to the argument, an imagined argument of people responding by saying, no, America first. What about me? It's like, let's have a look here. It's pretty clear that we are very connected because you can see it as things change on maps. Red circles growing, it's all there together.
The red circles Unger is describing are often those on the maps in the news, showing how the virus is spreading across the country and as governments place more restrictions on movement. Unger began to contemplate how we think about distance. Her attention turned to the Jewish tradition of observing Shabbat.
I had a couple of things that were floating around in my mind, one of which is that because of the way that our brains are inherently metaphorical, when we hear distancing, so that paradox
we feel
was in
more separate.
My head, and somehow that also seemed to connect up with another paradox, which is that of Shabbat, the Jewish Sabbath, is a bunch of stuff that you're not allowed to do. So similar to our current situation in that there are things that you would usually want to do that somebody else has said, no, you are not permitted to do those things. But in the case of Shabbat, that's a joyful thing. It's sacred and it's beautiful and it's a treasured and holy part of people's week. And so the restriction creates a kind of freedom in a paradoxical kind of way. And so I really kind of wanted to put together those two things about how physical distance is really not the same thing as emotional distance, and how restriction could lead you into something that was something you were gaining rather than just seeing it as something that you were giving up.
What has been the biggest thing that surprised you by the reaction? First of all, have you been surprised by the reaction?
Absolutely. I'm stunned. I mean, I just keep laughing just like in a vaguely hysterical kind of way as people keep, you know, pointing me like, look, Julia Roberts shared this on Instagram. Okay. Like, it's on Dan Rather's Facebook page. Cool. Then that's, wow. So yes, it's all been really extremely remarkable.
And has it given you a new platform? Do you feel more pressure as you think about your next poem that you're going to write?
Yeah. After somebody said, Julia Roberts shared your poem on Instagram, I was like, huh, I wonder if I need an Instagram account. So I have figured out with some help from my 21-year-old daughter how to post things to Instagram. I'm certainly not committing to writing a new poem every day, but I do kind of feel like apparently people could use poems at this point. I mean, it is a little bit strange because, of course, I'm getting large numbers of friend requests. I have both a personal page and a page that's my, you know, Lynn Unger poet. Actually, if you want to find me, poet Lynn Unger.
Do you have another book in mind? Are you contemplating future publications as you kind of look ahead?
I am hoping that there would be an actual book with a publisher in the future somewhere. That's not a thing that has yet happened, but it would be nice if it did. I have written other poems. I intend to continue writing other poems, so it would be nice to get stuff out there.
Well, Lynn, what does your spiritual practice look like?
The things that are really my personal spiritual practices, as opposed to the things that I do as my work, are mostly singing, dancing, and I'm teaching myself to play the mandolin. But it is a thing that I do try to do every day that is part of my grounding. I would like to be able to say that I genuinely have a meditation practice or a prayer practice, but if I did that, I would be lying. Can't claim that I do, but the music and the dancing are my genuine, consistent practices.
Lynn, is there anything else that you'd like to share? Any reflections or new poems that you'd like to share that while we've got you here?
If you want, I will read you a new poem, which is still pandemic related. It's called Toilet Paper. How many rolls of toilet paper will make you safe? How many bottles of Purell? How much peanut butter or pasta, bread or beer? How much money will make you secure? $10,000, $1 million, $1 billion in a yacht? At what point do you say, I have what I need? Ask the Buddha. He says, it is the nature of all things to change. It is the nature of all beings to suffer. It is the nature of all beings to die. How many rolls will make you safe? Wouldn't it be better if you yourself were multi-layered and soft and strong?
That was the Reverend Dr. Lynn Unger, a poet and minister for lifespan learning and editor of Quest for the Unitarian Universalist Church of the Larger Fellowship. From poetry to spiritual practices, people of faith and goodwill are turning to new ways of connecting with community. Coming up after the break, we take a listen to some of the themes, stories, and wisdoms from religious and spiritual leaders across traditions. This is Inspired. Hi, friends. I just want to take a quick moment here to express my gratitude. First, to our team, Kimberly and Kevin, you have made tremendous sacrifices and adjustments to working remotely on short notice, to helping me troubleshoot problems that I didn't anticipate that would emerge as we make our way during this difficult period of sheltering in place. I also want to give a word of thanks to our stations who carry us. Public media is more vital now than ever before. It is a community resource and a critical tool that allows us as citizens to make informed decisions. Our commitment to creating and producing compelling radio has never wavered, nor has our commitment to making it available to everyone for free. No paywalls ever. But it's not free to produce this show, and we don't receive any funds from National Public Radio or the local stations that carry us. So I need to ask you for your support. If you enjoy Inspired, if you value it and count on it, please consider donating today. You can do that on our website at interfaithradio.networkforgood.com. And finally, a word of gratitude to you, our listeners. I don't know where you are right now and how you are feeling, but my genuine wish for you is that you are safe and that you are secure and that you are supported. My goal every week is to ensure that our program offers insights and a respite that allows us to make better decisions, but also to appreciate the nuances in our world, especially when it comes to belief and belief systems. We are not affiliated with any religious tradition. We bring a journalistic approach because we believe deeply that perspective, understanding how beliefs shape our world, is critical to making good decisions. But I am very mindful that we are in a season that has many people of faith and goodwill thinking about sacrifice, about mortality, about loss and grief and meaning. And as you are thinking about those, navigating through your own traditions, your own cultures, your own experiences, I invite you to think about things you'd like to share and things you'd like to hear. Is your spiritual community discovering a new way to connect, or have you discovered a new spiritual community during this period of isolation? Send me an email at amber@listeninspired.org. Thank you for listening, and let's get back to the program.